of my life just to get you to pick up the phone. You're always online, but I'm always at my microphone. And it's hard to believe you when you tell me that I need you. What the fuck am I supposed to say? But it's never getting better if you're gonna do it every day. Some time alone, but you never seem to mention you were looking for attention, and you get it from your goddamn phone. You're coming out of your line. You do this all the time. No one's got to do you this one day. I'm telling you, you never make it worth the time. There ain't nothing you can give me that I can't do when you're posted online. I don't wanna fight you cause I never like to raise my voice. I'm trying to confront you but I don't think I have a choice. I don't wanna be the one who's gonna stop your fun, but you're gonna have fun alone. But it's not like you were picking up anytime I hit up your phone. Please don't let him wear my clothes. Don't bring him around to all the shows I go to. Don't remind me when you hit my phone up. I guess I miss you asking me to reach the higher shelf. I know you look so happy, but I'm thinking about myself and your lips. And my hands around your hips. I guess I'm missing dinner on your sister's balcony. I'm missing laying on the couch and listening to Harry's favorite song. And talking all night long. Please don't let him wear my clothes. Don't bring him around to all the shows I go to. Don't remind me when you hit my phone up. I'm sorry that I said I love you, that was so unfair. But I think that you look better with my hands all in your hair. But that's just me. I can see why you disagree. I miss your texts in the morning when we'd sleep in separate beds. I miss your voice and laughter, I can't get it out my head. I never will. I never will. Please don't let him wear my clothes. Don't bring him around to all the shows I go to. Don't remind me when you hit my phone up.
next song is called Eyes Half Shut. It goes a little something like this.
Okay, real quick, have you noticed that Anchor is now podcasters?
No.
Look at this bullshit. Thank you guys for acting like you care.
The same emblem as
fucking Spotify now, but it's like purpley blue, and it's called it's called Podcasters for Spotify. It's its technical name.
That's crazy.
Wait, is that like a separate app for podcasts on Spotify?
No, it was Anchor.
But Spotify already has podcasts.
It's for creators.
Oh, for creators. Okay, that makes
sense. So I assume that Spotify is now sponsoring Anchor, and now they're podcasters.
The monolith.
They've been sponsoring Anchor. Last one on a whole tangent on the way home.
I don't know, man.
Anyway.
Okay, everybody.
Yeah, I didn't answer your question. I think it is.
I'm pretty sure it's 76.
We've been live.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've been live.
Yeah.
Four, five, and this is, yes, it's 76. Yeah. We're going to be on track someday, guys.
Maybe. Okay, hi.
This is episode 76 of River City Sounds.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm Chloe.
Me and Chloe got through it.
I'm Chloe.
I'm Cole.
And we are here with...
The Matthew K. Davis Experience.
Who are also our other interviewers.
Yeah.
We're fucking around so hard right now.
I'm sorry.
We are the crew.
Everything hurts.
Aren't we called the Yearning Hour?
Yearning?
Sure, yeah. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that, okay?
Okay, cool.
Sorry.
Right. Who is in the Matthew... Is it band or project?
Band.
Experience.
Yeah,
band.
Who's in the Matthew K. Davis Project, band or experience? As of right now, who are we talking to? If you might would go around clockwise and introduce yourselves and what you do in the band.
Oh, so that's me. I'm Mary. I play bass.
Nice. I'm Lulu, and I play keyboard.
I'm John, and I play the drummies.
I'm Anthony, and I play guitar.
I'm Matt, and I too play the guitar.
Very cool.
And also vocal.
And I sing as well.
We're an instrumental band.
I wrote all this. We're a jam band.
So yeah, you just mentioned that you might have another name. Is that something you guys have been talking about for a little bit? Is that on the docket?
Our group chat was just called the Yearning Hour Band, because like we had originally formed it up to play album release show for Yearning Hour, the last album I released. We only Friday changed it to We Are Moving to Nashville.
Yes, that's our band name now, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that's a group chat name.
That's our group chat name.
I don't know if we've moved it towards the band name. The band name kind of just varies by the day, honestly.
Maybe we don't have a band name.
It's just Matt.
We're just the band
just
name.
MKD, maybe. Just MKD Project or something.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, like RDJ, NPH. HDMI.
JPEG.
So when was that project released? When was that?
The Yearning Hour?
Yes.
November 11th, 2022.
Okay, so pretty recently.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that everyone here has learned parts for it, so everyone has.
Correct, yes.
Did you guys want to talk a little bit about that? What's it like? Well, more the other members specifically, what's it like to maybe learn someone else's stuff and performing it?
You're doing great, Cole.
Thank you.
I prefer having something already written for me and then just learning it and playing it to like my own accord. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel safer. I already have it down for me. I don't have to use my brain power to create some more stuff. It's like I just kind of get to learn it and go. Which is fun for me, and then I can kind of attune it to my own style as need be.
Nice. Yeah.
Thanks, Lulu.
For me, it was super fun learning all the songs just because I normally am a jazz keyboard player, so it's like a whole different process learning kind of like singer-songwriter and rock type songs. It might be a little bit easier to like memorize everything, but the true artistry comes from like playing with everyone and really just like collaborating. So that was a really cool, unique experience for me.
I was gonna say, usually what I say to, I don't know, to this experience is you're switching from playing piano to playing keyboard now.
Yes, yeah. You know, I use a full like 88 keys piano keyboard, but playing like in a rock group on more like keyboard is so different than like playing classical piano or like playing a jazz standard or something and like using those skills. So it's really cool getting to use like the Wurlitzer sounds and the like pipe organ sounds and stuff with this group.
Very cool.
Yeah, and for me, I just have a lot of experience learning things by ear. So basically what I do is I listen to the song and then I'll listen to the song again while playing the drums simultaneously and just keep going until I'm comfortable with it. And yeah, that's pretty much my learning process.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I play with a few different groups by now, so it's like, it's not really like an uncommon thing for me to learn somebody else's material. I always like to get to a point where I'm comfortable just like playing the chords, and I can kind of tweak it and put my spin on it, like Mary said, make it sound a little bit cooler.
And then I wrote the parts.
Ben wrote everything.
Yeah.
But no, I played in other projects too with other people, so it's, you know, you gotta kind of strike a happy medium of being able to like put your own spin on it while still staying true to the original intent of the songwriter.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna ask you specifically, it was kind of interesting to see you playing lead and singing as well. It's not something I usually see, especially in a more of a local scene. I don't know. Do you want to talk about that maybe? Why you chose to pick up the lead as opposed to doing more of an easy rhythm maybe?
Yeah. Well, I kind of, you know, I was really recently kind of planning to ramp this up of, you know, I noticed that when people are like kind of multitasking with the like performing and the playing, one of them has to be on autopilot. So it's kind of, and then like I was thinking like, well, you know, how often do you go out to a show and you see like a guitarist, like, wow, like the guitarist is really good. It's like all the time, but it's not as common to go out and just be blown away by a performance. So I figured if I could kind of like trade off between like singing and like performing and then like playing the guitar, could kind of, you know, keep the energy up a little better, I'd say.
Yeah, no, it definitely works, because you don't always need two guitars at every point. Sometimes it does make logistical sense to be a lead guitar player and a singer. I'm thinking of like Creedence Clearwater, because he's just like chilling there singing, and then he plays the lead, and then he's chilling singing again. So like he's doing the switch on and off, which I saw you do, which I did like. I do want to talk about genre and influences.
What are your genre? What would you define your genre as? And who are your influences? And you can't say the Beatles.
Well, then he has none. He's like, I'm not an influence.
That's what I wrote. I said, you seem to be someone who plays and, you know, wears a lot of your influence on your sleeve. I was thinking Beatles, John Mayer, and Donovan.
The guitar.
I'm throwing also in there the 1975.
Okay. Were just on
Saturday Night Live. I think he's gotten all of those except for Donovan.
Okay. I was just, Donovan was a shot in the dark, honestly.
Yeah, no,
I think
he's heard all of those from separate Donnie people Band. Except for that one.
Yeah, I've never gotten Donovan before. I mean, I enjoy Donovan, like, never done like a deep dive into his discography, but I'm aware he, actually, he was in India with the Beatles in 1968.
Yeah.
And
that's
he taught. He taught John Lennon the picking style that was used in like Dear Prudence and Julia. Mm. And
oh yeah, that was another one I heard. I was like, this is Dear Prudence.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was using that same picking style. And then from what I understand, during like while Donovan was teaching John Lennon that, like Paul McCartney like kind of popped his head in the door, was like, oh, that sounds pretty nice, you know. And then kind of like popped his head back out and just did his own thing, and that's where he got the picking style for like Blackbird or Your Majesty. Hmm. Her Majesty.
I would have to listen back, but I don't know if it was specifically a picking style. I think it might have been more of like the lifts and the melody towards the end. But
yeah.
Anyways, I'll have to listen to it again. Yeah,
that's me. How do you define your genre?
I would say it's solidly indie. Before it was kind of more indie rock, with like earlier songs like Eyes Have Shut from my previous album, Sophomore Slump, and then Tiny Hand from my first album, I Think That Everybody Hates Me. On Yearning Hour, I was getting more into like mainstream pop. I think I remember, like I was going through a really tough time, and then I heard Harry's House for the first time, and I was just addicted to that album.
I don't think it deserves a Grammy, but I do
love
that.
Damn. Yeah, no, I feel that. I feel that. But yeah, and then that kind of like got me more into. I had already enjoyed like Billie Eilish and Phineas and their work. But then got me more into like Lorde, Dua Lipa.
Which
Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa.
Melodrama.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like one of my favorite. Like anything Jack Antonoff touches, I'm
for sure.
Here for. Haven't heard the last Taylor Swift album, though, yet.
It's good.
I think it's okay.
Is that the one we listened to on the road trip?
The one with Lavender Dreams on it.
It's okay.
Yeah, I saw it.
I like the Lana Del Rey.
That's what I heard.
That's
it was like it was okay, but like Evermore and Folklore were fantastic albums,
yeah,
and I really was like hoping she'd maybe go like more in that direction, more like kind of I wouldn't say experimental, but like more different from what people are expecting of Taylor Swift. And again, I haven't heard the album. I heard that it was kind of like similar to earlier stuff.
It reminded me of 1989.
Okay.
But see, you say that it reminded you, but my bestie texted you, hey, you would like this album. It's similar to 1989.
You're right, but
original
I listened
song.
To it and I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I like the song August.
I don't want to fall into a Taylor Swift hole because I'm not actually a Taylor Swift fan. I love Page Seven and they love Taylor Swift, but like what they've been saying is that like what isn't she re-recording all of her stuff because she's getting her rights back slowly?
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe it's one of those things you're going back and you're figuring stuff out and you're kind of either rehashing old ideas or you're getting new ideas from your old stuff. I mean,
yeah,
that's
valid.
Yeah.
Never Shout Never did that.
Yeah.
Stop it! Stop it right now.
Didn't Carsey Headrest also do that?
Yes, they did.
With Twin Fantasy? Mm-hmm. I think the guy that played bass on the original Twin Fantasy plays in a band around Richmond, plays in Roughshod. Okay.
So the past three albums that you put out, were those all recorded and mixed by the same person, or would you get that done by? You did all of it.
I did.
Okay, very nice.
Yes.
And I assume then you recorded all of the instruments themselves as well.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, very cool. How'd you mix it? What'd you do? Do you actually have like your own mixing thing, or did you throw it into like one of those online? Mastering. I'm sorry.
I
it's alright. I threw mine through the website, bro. I didn't fucking send it out.
The DistroKid, like the AutoMaster.
Yeah, AutoMaster shit was like $50 for a month. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
It's okay. Fuck yeah. It's cool.
Mix it. Well, because it's like, isn't with Spotify? It's like if it's over a certain level, like. Even like just a little bit, it'll like reduce it by like 6 decibels.
I have no idea.
So some of the stuff I've released before has been like way quieter than I anticipated, and then some of it's like sounded fine. Then like since like 2021, I've been like, I'm not gonna take my chances, and then I just put it all through that.
No, it's just funny. I've been asking a lot of my friends who do, like, you know, the technical engineering side. They're like, so what does mastering do? And they're just, like, ashamed to admit, like, fuck, dude, if I actually know.
Yeah.
And so,
it makes it sound better.
Yeah, they're like, it makes it sound fuller. And it's like, yeah, everyone says that. What does
it
do?
Bigger.
If you know, fucking email us, dude. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I will, like, I think
a
big part.
Session.
I think a big part of mastering when it began was because back in the day when you had vinyl records, you had to, like, literally fix it so that it sounded good on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think a big part of it is just if you have like a project, like an album, you want all the songs to sound pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so mastering is a good way to just, yeah, fix all the levels and stuff.
Yeah, and going off of the vinyl thing, like nowadays and like today's like recording, like we have like headphones and car speakers and studio monitors. It's like for mastering, they're really, really trying to make it sound good through everything or as best they can, because there's a lot of different types of speakers that are going to make your music sound like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know? So
going
off.
That's my only experience with that is with my band, just like listening to the album in different scenarios, like the car headphones.
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
On
yeah.
your phone speakers.
Yeah,
exactly.
You gotta be able to hear everything on your phone speakers too.
You have to like find that line that makes it sound good for your
everything.
No, 100%.
I think music sounds best in the car.
It does. That's
course.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Depends
honestly,
on the car.
I think so.
Yeah, and I recognize
it
that.
Depends
on
the
my car sounds better.
It depends on the car.
Yeah.
Where we at? Sorry.
Songwriting process. How do you do it?
It really varies.
I get really sad when I write a song.
What's that?
I get really sad.
Same.
When I write a song.
That's mostly it. I've been writing songs since I was like,
he yearns.
Like 13, I think. 13 or 14. So at this point, I've got about like 175 of them.
Are they all playable? Do you all still want to play them, or is it just like I have written 175? I'm sorry,
175 songs
just...
set.
No,
okay.
you're absolutely right. It's
wow.
I have written 175. That does not mean 175 good songs.
Yeah. No, I was just wondering because I was just shoveling these two in variants with like I think it's 15 songs. I think there's only 10 on the demo, but it was like 15 in total. I was like, oh yeah, I have a backlog of fucking more we can do too. It's just like don't want to overwhelm. Sorry for the tangent, real quick.
No, you're good.
You have 100 and.
Yeah, but it really varies. There's some songs, like, I think ones that we played today, there was, like, Tiny Hand and Baby were two songs that, like, I had the idea for, like, I had, like, a lyrical idea, and then wrote it in, like, 15 minutes, and then just kind of came up with the chord progression, and then once I get into, like, actually recording, kind of figuring stuff out from there. Fairly Well, I had the guitar part to it first, and then wrote the lyrics from there, and I kind of wanted to be like a folky, like a send-off kind of, And recently I've been getting more into like writing within the DAW itself, like mm-hmm. when like opening up the recording and figuring out like, you know, a beat and like MIDI and all that stuff.
Yeah, write as you record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
What do you write about?
I mean, I'm not going to shy away from it. I write a lot of sad breakup songs.
It's best songs.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a thing I think about quite a bit, and I never really got around to thinking about other stuff.
Or therapy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely can feel that vibe where a lot of people are like, oh, I kind of need the sadness of the inspiration or whatnot. One thing I would suggest, there's this one band called Me Without You. It's one word. Fuck yeah. They are actually, Christian, Islamic, and Hindu band, because he's like he studies religions, basically. But yeah, a lot of their lyrics are very interesting and very poetic in the way that they'll like retell stories from the Bible and stuff, and they'll make like, and they were really inspirational to me to just like write a fictional piece with your song. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Concept.
Yeah. 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 Not necessarily concept. Like a recent song I wrote was about getting shot down by the Bob because you couldn't make your fucking payments. I don't know. Just silly things, honestly.
Yeah. And like I've tried a couple times. I'm sure there's like one or two here and there that I've written that and like finished that way. But a lot of times like when I'm doing it, like I'll hear other people do it, I was like, wow, this is great. And then I'll try it. It's like, this is stupid.
Yeah, one of the problems is you don't want to mash too many words in one place. It doesn't sound lyrical at all. It just sounds like you're mashing words and trying to be Dylan.
It's a hard thing to do.
It really is.
I feel like you can mash words together and shit. I know like some stuff that I've been working on is a lot of just sort of like slamming on the keyboard and screaming and like noisy kind of like vibe. I think, you know, it's all subjective. I think as long as you're getting your emotions out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that response. It's a great one.
Yeah, I think songs that have lyrics but the lyrics don't really make any sense but it's like they work with whatever is happening in the music, I think that could be some of the best stuff.
So the release show is in November, you said, of last year, correct? So how long have you guys actually been playing together as a unit?
It was
a little bit before that, I assume.
Yeah, like I think I had formed the band in August, and then well, like, I formed it in, like, July, then we started practicing in August, and then played the first show in November, played another one January 31st, and that's been it so far? No, we played at Cactus Shack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, in this time, have you guys found any other interest other than music that you all share, or maybe just a couple of you share?
We all kind of like beer.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good one.
Do you have any favorite breweries around Richmond at the moment?
I mean, I used to work at one.
Where'd you used to work?
Used to work at Stone down on
Rocket
Plant.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it was
my dad liked Stone.
Yeah, I loved that place. The only reason why I left was to take a salaried position that I could, you know, move out of my parents' house.
I mean, hell yeah, bro. Good for it.
But yeah. But I mean, like, they were great people, and I loved what I did. We would go to Triple Crossing a lot because, like, we closed at 9 and Triple Crossing closed at 10. So they would just be open. Garden Grove's nice. I'm trying to think about it. Like, I haven't been to Vossen in a while.
I love Vossen.
Star Hill's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, Star Hill's mm-hmm. great.
I like some of the ones out west, like Devil's Backbone.
Fuck yeah.
That one's a good one. Mm-hmm. Or, like, Blue Mountain Brewery. Mm-hmm. That's a really good one, too.
The beer is such a silly thing because everyone loves
thing.
It is, but it unites people.
So
I think like one of the first time Matt Davis and I had like a full conversation, we talked about beer for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, no, I remember that beer very specifically. Beer. That was at Will's house.
Because
you were like, I don't know anybody here, and then I was like, all right, bet. And then we went inside and I did the whole have you met Ted? Yeah. But have you met Chloe?
Yeah.
And then I would just dip.
Yeah, but there's a little beer talk. Beer's cool. Yeah. I love beer. Work for
Lulu,
beer.
John, and Anthony, do you guys have any breweries you like around town?
I played at Legend Brewery, I think, like, downtown, like, Chaco Bottom area a couple times. They have really good burgers.
Fuck yeah. So. Good burgers are good. Yeah,
I like
the they have brown,
sprouts.
Yeah.
Good brewery food
is
so important.
That
it really is. I was about to say the same thing.
I have a good Brussels sprout.
Just one sprout.
I enjoy a Brussels sprout.
I also love Brussels sprouts.
Me too.
Hot honey on your Brussels.
Oh,
stop.
Um, you want to take an RVA question?
Ooh, all right, RVA question.
That's where we are. Okay. RVA is an acronym for Richmond, Virginia.
Correct.
Yes.
RVA.
Right.
Yes.
If you had to like reassign the words to the acronym, what is RVA?
Recreational Vehicle Association.
Ooh, that was quick.
See, no offense, I don't think you are a fair advantage because you know Chloe, so I'm thinking you guys might have cohooted on this.
I don't ask people that question in my free time. Although the other day, last night actually, some guy was like, asked me some questions, and I just went through all of Chloe's corner in my head. I was like, I got you, dude.
No, I've definitely taken on, like, I don't know. When I don't know what to say in a like, interview mode goes on. You know what I mean? Like, I get stuck at a bar, and I'm just talking to someone, or, like, somebody's dad, I don't fucking know. It's just, like, interview mode goes on. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah, there you go.
All right, Matt did it. Everyone else. RVA.
Oh, no.
As the band, you guys...
Wait, one, yeah, John, you come up with something.
Random Velvet Animals.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, especially for, what's that one place with the taxidermied animals?
Rest in pieces.
Shout out. Anyone else got anything good?
Real valid anecdotes.
Okay,
that's a good one.
Very cool.
I've got nothing.
Yeah, that's another thing that bonded us as a band, just storytelling and anecdotes.
Yeah. Do you guys have a, like, what do we mean storytelling? Just telling each other stories or
it
any
means,
stories
like,
you know?
Between songs, we
Matt
don't play,
tells a story.
After we end a song, we don't play another one for like 45 minutes
yeah.
at practice.
I do love telling me stories.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, I've just been in a band like that where it's like, can we play a fucking song now?
No, it's usually me and Anthony looking at each other like, is this going to happen?
I mean, it's fun since I host practices. I just chill out, you know, I got a refrigerator full of beers.
Yeah.
Like,
that's definitely the other thing. It's like, it's your place and you have like the weed and booze flowing, it's just like, I don't fucking care.
As long as
the cops don't get called.
It's you, and also the anecdotes usually start with, you guys want to hear something silly?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
how do you say no?
They almost always say no. Can I usually deliver?
Matt, can you give us an anecdote right now?
Yes. Okay, so we were talking earlier about this bit that I have with my old coworker at Starbucks.
This is a good one.
Yeah, about... there was the one that was, like, shitting on Oasis every time we worked together. Like, you know, like, Oasis, best fucking bands, yeah. You know, better than the Beatles. But then we would also do this bit where we'd pretend like the Beatles never broke up. And I'd be Paul and he'd be John. And I would have to pitch Wonderful Christmas Time to play as a Beatles song.
It's the only good Christmas song that ever exists. It's the only one I listen to.
Yeah,
no.
That's a hot
What's the other
no.
one? What's the
that's
other one?
Little,
what's the other one?
Little Saint Nick by the Beach Boys.
Silent Night.
Entire Vince Guaraldi.
Yeah.
The Charlie Brown Christmas album.
Sorry.
Come on.
No.
Skating?
Yeah, come on.
No, skating.
Classic.
Mistletoe by Justin Bieber. So
at least we don't have. It seems like we don't have any Bright Eyes fans here. That was kind of a setup, a little bit.
but no, like Wonderful Christmas Time came out like around the same time as Temporary Secretary. Like, how can you top that? No, but you'd be like, well, you know, John, I was thinking, you know, and it's the 1980s. We got all these, you know, the synthesizers, all these buttons. You know,
it's the best part of the song is the synthesizers.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, what if we pushed every button on the synthesizer, started having sing about having a wonderful Christmas time? You know, I think that'd be a good song, be a hit. And John would, he'd say something like, Paul, is this going to be another one of your granny tunes?
He has an accent for each one.
Ringo's like, fellas, with peace and love, I'll play the drums on this song. And George was the Quiet Beatles, so we don't know what he sounded like. JFK, I haven't done it in a while, but he'd be like...
H9, Blenna. Top
cool.
five presidential.
Okay, so there was...
Number 5.
Number 15. There was one that I saw with this guy, dude, JFK, and he was like, we as Americans and as a people of kind hearts will focus all efforts on thwarting the divisions that come from Candace. Yeah. And someone in the audience is like, who's Candace? Candace Dick fitting your mouth.
Oh,
and it was just silent.
Number four.
I used to do Bill Clinton with my roommate a lot, where I'd be like, I don't remember saying a single thing. I got up on that stage and I just blacked out. We also used to do Bush.
Number three.
W. Bush.
Okay.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, my brother, back in like 2008 when Bush was still president, and like I was like 11 and he was 13, so great ages to be.
I thought that was the impression.
Me too. I like pissed him off really bad one day, and then he like wrote a handwritten letter to George Bush and gave it to my mom. I was like, Mom, can you give this to George Bush? And she lied and said she'd do it. And then we found it in like 2020, and like I read it out loud and I was like, now Brian, me and Condoleezza read over your letter, and we're taking it very seriously. So, in response, we're gonna bomb Iran. Like everything about Bush always comes back to like bombing some country we have no business in doing anything in.
Number two,
I feel like everybody does a mediocre Obama impression, where they always like, and then they're stuttering with Obama. But you know, Obama's all in the cadence. It's in the way you pace your words. And how you're gonna end your sentences?
Y'all can't see this at home, but he's doing the mannerisms with
the
And then there's
top number one. Sorry,
I've been working number on this one recently.
Number one.
Okay, I've been working on a Trump recently.
I knew it was coming.
I've always struggled with it, and like it's still a work in progress. But
I tried
like,
to coach him through a couple of the issues with it. So
yeah. Well, because, like, you know, you always get, like, you're, like Stephen Colbert is, like, my name's Donald Trump, I love colluding with the Russians, but it's, like, he talks with a super, and it helps to do, like, the hand thing, but...
Get yourself into character.
Yeah, exactly.
He talks with a super tiny mouth until he says A's. Like, I was walking the other day, and I saw... Crooked Hillary, and I saw what she did, She, believe me, this is true. She took a dump in the... She took a dump in the McDonald's bathroom. It was so bad. So,
God.
So that's what I do in my free time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
check it just out. Sounds like my relatives. Can I ask a question in Chloe's corner?
I just want to make sure that my question to the band at hold is
what is your favorite snack? And we're gonna go down a line.
Oh,
or we don't have to. But I'd like to hear everyone.
Let's go down a line.
Everyone
please. Oh, so that's me.
Tell us, Mary. Mary, what's your favorite snack?
Depends on the mood. I love a good yogurt.
What yogurt?
Strawberry banana.
Which brand of yogurt?
Good. If I'm being so honest with you, the Stonyfield Organic Kids.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I get too.
I don't like the animals. Adult yogurts because they have chunks in them. I don't like the chunks. I like the smooth.
Also, I would argue that the size of the kids' yogurt
the
is
size,
much more manageable.
No, it's the size.
It's the perfect amount.
Yeah.
Do you like your yogurt with or without pulp?
No.
Wait,
you
pull.
You stop that.
You stop that. Okay, my favorite snack. I actually did this just recently, and I think it's my favorite thing now. Frozen grapes.
Okay.
Oh, you ever put grapes in the freezer?
Yeah.
So good.
The cotton candy grapes.
Oh, I bet those would be great in the freezer. Yeah.
Grape in the freezer.
I knew someone was gonna do it.
But grapes also those like spicy corn chips from Trader Joe's that are like the Trader Joe's version of Takis, those are really good.
Trader Joe's version of anything is like top tier.
They're pretty good, yeah.
I went to the wrong Trader Joe's the other day and it was miserable.
That
I went to the one in Short Pond.
Oh, mistakes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no. I got hit by old people.
It's
it was
so much worse.
Southside Trader Joe's.
See, yeah, I work in the same shopping center as the Southside Trader Joe's, so I just go there all the time. It's easy.
That's good. Nice.
John? Well, John. I have a rather weird one, I would say. So, one of my favorite snacks is I take a bowl, and I put croutons in the bowl. And then I put, like, shredded cheese on top of it.
Yeah.
So it's like the Mexican blend cheese that you can get at, like, whatever store.
Yeah.
And then you take a spoon, and you just eat it like cereal.
It's like a...
It's the best. It's kind of like crouton salad.
It's the only
but
thing
it's just
like in a salad.
It's like ghetto nachos, but instead of chips, you're using croutons.
Exactly, yeah. And it's fucking delicious.
I buy croutons for our house all the time. Not once have they been used for a salad.
Dude, no, we never so have funny. Salad either. It's
not
like I just pour them, in, or like if I'm walking by, I just want to grab. I'll just grab a few croutons, and then I'm just like, after
it's
I eat
like
them, I'm like, fuck, grab more, fuck. grab even more. And it's just, croutons are so fucking good.
For Christmas, his mother got him one of those like Costco size bags of croutons, like as a gift. Because she knew he would appreciate it so much.
I ate the whole fucking thing.
I have a follow-up question.
Took me like a month and a half, but...
The follow-up question is, what is your flavor crouton? Like, if you're at the store, there's a lot of croutons there, right?
Yeah.
What's your go-to crouton?
Like the garlic ones, right?
Yeah, like garlic and then cheese or the butter ones. I kind of...
He's a basic man.
Yeah, I kind of just like anything...
Not Italian blend?
Those ones... I don't discriminate when it comes to croutons. I like them all.
All right, so I got two snacks. If I want like a sugary snack, I love those like Trolley gummy worms.
Oh yeah,
and I like the dual colored ones. So that's like my like candy snack. And then
sweet treat.
The band knows like I can put together like a pretty decent like charcuterie board. Oh, so yeah. I love to like put the grapes out and like slice up an apple and like get some cheese cubes. Like assorted. No, they're
no, they're not frozen yet. Yeah,
refrigerator room
maybe
temperature.
We'll try it. Yeah.
He makes us band cootery when we.
That sounds weird.
Sometimes.
A little bit of pepperoni.
I thought that it worked.
Also love gummy worms. Olives. I love olives.
Olives.
Yeah, maybe a little pimento.
Okay, Grandpa.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Hey, I love olives too.
I also
love olives.
And pickles.
I'm team olive.
I don't like
it. Yeah,
we love to see
I'll say it. I'm not afraid to say it.
I'm also team olive, just to set the record straight.
I can't do it. I think olives
are. You are brave.
They're great, and I'm tired of pretending they're not.
Okay, do you have any band goals for the future?
Nashville, baby.
Nashville. We want
to
move to Nashville, just
we were having a practice on Friday, and then we were all kind of talking. Because, I grew up in Richmond. Like, I grew up in Midlothian and went to college in Nova. But other than that, like, I've been here my whole life. And I was like, yeah, I just need a change, you know? And then Anthony was like, yeah, like, I'd love to go to Nashville. And then Mary and John were like, yeah, I'd love to go to Nashville. And Lulu's looking at grad school out in Nashville. So now it kind of seems like all the cards are in that direction, whatever the saying is.
Do you have any upcoming shows that we should go to?
Or Saturday?
Yeah, For Cyber.
Saturday, is it the 18th of Saturday?
18th.
Yes. The 18th, For Cyber Cafe with lunch special and parsley.
Okay.
And then...
This episode's going to come out after that, but retrospect, we can't wait to go.
You come to it, thanks for that.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
I had so much fun. It went great.
Yeah.
I'm anticipating.
Oh, yes.
Other than that, well, I can't.
I don't think we have anything.
Yeah, I don't think anything after that, no.
Okay, well, we'll all look out for the future shows, because it's a great time.
Thank you.
Do you have any bands you want to plug that we should listen to?
Anna Leonard.
Yeah, oh, there's so many of them.
Only because Matt and I are also in Anna Leonard.
Richmond bands.
Yeah,
Richmond.
I'm assuming... I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you know 10 Pound Snail, but they're all great people.
The Marshall Family Values.
I've been in contact with that fucking bass player for so many years now to get them on. And
every time I'm like, get on a podcast, they're elusive. Anyways.
Yeah.
We had...
10 Pound...
Who was their band?
Marshall Family Values.
Yeah, we had them
MFD.
On as well.
Yeah.
Not their new iteration, though, but back when they were a five-piece with the old bass player
keyboard
player.
Yeah, I went to their show a few weeks ago. It was pretty cool.
Anna Leonard, Midnight Taxi, Parsley, Marshall's Law, Space Mirror.
Although I think Marshall's Law is not going to be around for
longer. I don't know.
But still listen to their music.
Yeah.
They'll still be up.
Of course.
Orange Ice.
The Fernats. They're more...
Are
I think
we just naming every band?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're technically Fredericksburg-based, but they play here a lot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, Lunch Special. Did we mention Lunch Special?
Well, I mentioned that they were in...
Yeah, that we mentioned they were playing with them, but yeah, also listen to them. They're so cool. I listened to one of the songs that they did with Chandler, and I was like, this is, like, fucking awesome. I love it.
There's so many. I feel bad. Like, if we left any of you out, I'm so sorry.
Where can we listen to your music?
On all streaming services, it'll be under Matthew K. Davis. If you go into Spotify, there should be a playlist link to every song I've ever released with my solo stuff, with Grand Moscow Terminal, with the one with Anna Leonard, and with the Vernon Project before that.
Word. Very epic. Any parting words, anybody?
Thanks for having us.
I love
you. Thank
you
for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, guys.
Thank you for having us, of course.
I'm a big fan of Big Loud Awful Sounds.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you saying that. So we have been River City Sounds, episode 76. I'm Cole.
I'm Chloe.
I'm
Justin.
And we've had with us...
The Matthew K. Davis.
Experience
and the
all of the wonderful band and people who helped put it together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And company.
And company.
Yes, yay. We can go find your music, and we can also find River City Sounds on Spotify. And now Anchor FM is apparently Spotify for podcasters.
I guess.
If you have it on your app, it is now called Podcasters, and it looks like Spotify. So go follow us there. Yeah. If that's not too fucking confusing.
Rate us 5 stars because it's your favorite podcast of all time.
It is, and you're gonna use Podcasters.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really not that hard to say. Podcaster. I barely know.
Womp, 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 womp.
I have heard that, but that was a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Womp, 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 womp. Like, comment, subscribe.
Or else.
Or else.
Yeah, I'm ready. We'll be right back.
been a quarter century now, and I never learned how to stop the train when I'm in love with you. Maybe someday I will learn, and it will be your turn, and maybe then you will have learned it too. So long, fare thee well, fare thee well. In some 50 years from here, it will all seem clear, and maybe then I'll fall asleep for good. But you won't have to cry, because someday we'll all die, just like our fathers who came before us would. So long, fare thee well, fare thee well. Won't you join me in this call, and say love will conquer all, and sing with me until the night time comes. Because death will do us in, and we can never win, but in our times we just may have won. So long, fare thee well, fare thee well. Join me in this call, and say love will conquer all, and sing with me until the night time comes. Because death will do us in, and we can never win, but in our times we just may have won.